what's the actual, what they call it.
Okay, we're coming back to the subject of the so-called lates. A late is basically like a jester, but that's just a simplistic translation. The first chapter of Tehillim talks about three different groups, three different types of people. One is Rishayim. So it says, Ashrei Yish, Shalom Halach Batsas Rishayim. Fortunate is the person who has not walked in the way of the Rishayim. Uvederech Chatoim Lo Amad. And in the way of the sinners, he has not stood. Uvemoshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav. But in the, now you have an idea not just of Leitzim, but Moshav Leitzim, which is a place that these people, these jokers, jesters, however you want to translate it, don't sit. It's like a place where they gather and sit. Now, according to my opinion, the Russia is really Eitzah. That's an idea. He has a certain idea. He has an ideology. And the ideology is a false one. It's, generally speaking, it's one which seeks to oppress others. Self-magnification. That is to say, he has a certain objective, a certain movement, or a certain ideology, which is always, it's always going to be rooted in some type of a self-aggrandizement. That's Russia. Then you have Chote. Chote, in my opinion, is not necessarily the same as a Russia. But it means people that are living their lives according to a false lifestyle. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily harmful to others, or that they have an ideology that they're trying to impose, or that they're aggressive. But the playboy paganism, a person that it's hate because it's false in terms of the true human good. It's someone who's not basing their lives on pursuit of the true human good. It's a falsification, but it's sin. It's sin. Then it refers to the Moshav Leitzim. Scorners. I think that term is usually scoffers, scorners. So let's see if we can make some sense out of this. On the surface, it seems to be lacking something in terms of the sinfulness, because the idea of humor, of wit, in and of itself doesn't seem to be something which is sinful. The Jews are famous for their wit. People are clever. And it seems to be a neutral kind of a thing. Of course, it can take on the form of sinful speech. We have the concept of sinful speech in terms of lashon hara, in terms of afflicting, making fun out of people, malbim pnei chaver barabim, to embarrass somebody publicly. That's very, 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 very serious. And people with quick tongues that are witty. That's something, it's a challenge. If a person is doing that and using their verbal skills to taunt somebody else, to embarrass the other person, so that's one of the averos, one of the sins that ein lo chelek le'olam haba, does not have a share in the world to come. That we understand. But the idea of being a leitz per se, that type of a personality, being a scorner per se, that's what we're trying to figure out. What is wrong with that? Let's assume, for example, are we to assume that it means because it always will inevitably result in the commission of these sins, which are very serious? Or no, is there something about being that type of a personality? It's a personality type. Points being made that making fun out of something is not necessarily evil. We're supposed to do that with regard to Avodah Zarah. If something is false and has a hold on people, so humor could be a very effective tool in the service of truth. Because sometimes people take things so seriously that they're afraid to question it. And in order to bring them to their senses, you poke fun out of something. The idea of poking fun out of something, I mean, we're living in a very politically correct type of a climate. The idea of poking fun out of something doesn't seem in and of itself to be bad. It all would depend on what you're making fun of. Now, the point is being made that we had used this example when we were studying the laws of mourning, of Avelis. There is a category, it's called Loeg L'Rush, that a person makes jokes. It encompasses more than just making jokes. It could even, in the presence of a corpse, in the presence of a mace, a corpse, someone who jokes, people do have a tendency to make all kinds of jokes about the subject. They get nervous and they make jokes. By the way, the category of Loeg L'Rush, of poking fun out of a deceased, doesn't necessarily have to come about through a joke. For example, you're not allowed to talk Torah. You're not allowed to talk Torah in front of the mace, because that's considered to be a form of degrading, because the deceased, the mace, can't answer. So the Torah conversation is, so to speak, embarrassing to the person. But the general idea of making fun is, it's a denial of the reality. When people are involved, confronted with realities that are too painful, humor is a way of dealing with it. Humor is a way of handling it, but also it's a way of denying reality. And since the most painful reality for people to deal with is death, mortality, that's the biggest blow to a person's sense of self. And to a certain extent, most people are, their whole lives are premised upon the denial of death. And were they to confront the reality of death, they would make serious, I would imagine, make serious changes. Although I'm not so sure, because the way people respond to incontrovertible evidence that their time is, so to speak, limited, well, first of all, many people still resort to all kinds of denial. Denial doesn't go away. There's always some kind of miracle treatment somewhere, which is a form of denial. However, even people that accept it do not necessarily become wise or choose wisdom. They will revert. I think that most people in that situation, if they face death, they will revert to trying to accomplish what they really believe is their philosophy. They'll act in accordance with their philosophy. If their philosophy is a false one, I don't know that it'll really be a help to them. We did discuss the idea that Yosef, the favor that Yosef did for the Sar HaOfim, in my opinion anyways, was much greater favor than the one that he did for the Sar HaMashkim. The reason being that Yosef told the Sar HaMashkim, the butler, that in 3 days he would be free. However, that was the reality. Yosef was not the cause of that reality. Yosef had nothing to do with the fact that he'd be extricated from jail. Yosef was simply telling him. So he was removing a burden of anxiety for a few days. He didn't have to worry, if he believed Yosef. But the actual substance, that the freeing, the good, that wasn't that Yosef was doing him that good. However, for the Sar HaOfim, for the baker who was going to die in 3 days, that was a huge favor. Because to know that a person only has 3 days left is to give him a tremendous opportunity to do tshuva. A person can repent, can do tshuva, can make arrangements for his family, and so on and so forth. That, from an objective standpoint, is a tremendous benefit for a person to know when his time is going to be up. Except most people don't look at it that way because of the denial of death, the emotion. The reality of death to them is so horrible, so depressing, that they don't even approach it with any kind of a rationality. So the favor to the baker was indeed the real one. Whether the baker looked at it that way, though, I doubt. I think that if a person was honest, whatever they would say they would do would reflect what they regard as being the purpose, so to speak. Many people will say, okay, now I'm not going to deny myself. I'm going to do the things I've wanted to do.
It wouldn't be sit and shiva.
I would travel or spend more time with my family, whatever it is. Which shows you that right now they're not doing those things. They're not living in accordance with their real value system because they're sort of saving it up for the future. But if there is no future, then that's probably what they would do. Irrespective of whether a person is living their life in accordance with truth, I mean, the correct answer would be that, it seems to me, is that I would, if a person is convinced, if a person has searched, and is firm in terms of their philosophy of life, well, A, first of all, I assume that they're pretty much living in accordance with that philosophy, and they could make modifications, because a person can't be 100% all the time. There are things you do because of the future. That's the way life is structured. You have children, you have family, you have to save up for their education, and so on and so forth. So there are a number of activities that you're doing, not just for the moment, but you're assuming a certain future, a certain amount of time. Then a person might say, well, since there is no such future, I'm going to devote all of my time to doing that which I think is the real purpose. But I think that people that never bother to really think about that, I don't know how many people would engage in a real search for the truth. It seems to me, though, that would be the appropriate response, that now, if that is the case, then there's nothing more important for me than the truth. The point is being made that they have these charities, these charitable groups, that make a wish foundation. That is to say, I think it's essentially for children.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy that children who have incurable diseases, so the idea of the foundation is to enable this child to fulfill whatever its greatest wish is. Now, we have to be very careful about, I'm not judging, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. It does flow, however, it does flow from an idea that for a person to be able to fulfill their own wish is the ultimate experience or the ultimate good. That position, that we don't agree with, Yadis would not agree with that. However, I'm not criticizing what's being done over here, because bear in mind, you're dealing with children. So if you're dealing with children and they're not able to really cope with this on an intellectual level, and for whatever reason it's going to bring comfort to them, so that's a form of chesed. I'm not opposed to that, but from the very notion of structuring it that way, the make-a-wish idea, it shows you that the adults that are involved in it do regard that as being the ultimate experience that a person could have, whatever you wish, to fulfill your wish. The idea of the Leitz, Moshav Leitzim, is someone who really may not have a evil philosophy. It's interesting. You see that Yahadis condemns an evil way of life, like the lifestyle of the playboy, because it's just instinctual. It negates the divine element in man. And the evil philosophy, where it's a whole ideology, it's a whole way of thinking, which is based upon falsehood. And it really enslaves people. But with regard to the Leitz doesn't necessarily have a philosophy of life. And Yahadis also maintains that this is an evil phenomenon because it has to do with a person's attitude towards reality, towards truth. It all revolves around truth. And that's why the flatterer is condemned. The Rambam talks about that a person should not engage in any kind of flattery, smooth lips, smooth talk. It's all sheker. And there are different ways in which people negate truth. For a human being to live a life which is founded upon the negation of truth, that's the ultimate evil. Of course that person has no share in the world to come, because the whole share in the world to come is with the perfection of the soul, insofar as the soul has perfected itself in accordance with truth, with reality. And through that is the means by which we can attain a recognition of the Creator, of the Borei Olam, which that's the whole purpose. In many ways, the scoffer, the scorner, is very insidious, because it's a very psychologically appealing way of just negating everything. Everything's a joke. To the scorner, everything is a joke. It has no reality whatsoever. And everybody can sense that type of an emotion. When you want to when something is troubling you, and there is a certain element, a person is tense, there's a certain element of guilt about doing something, then when somebody comes along, for example, here'd be a perfect case, a Rav gives a drasha, and it's very serious, and there's a certain amount of rebuke, and it really hits people, brings to people's attention that they shouldn't be talking at certain points, that they should be more involved in tzedakah, whatever the case may be, and it creates a certain mood. and people are sort of filing out of the shul, and that's exactly the appropriate way. Then you have the shtokes that makes a big joke, something about the rabbi, this, that, and that destroys the whole thing. That's, I think, what they're really getting at. It's a joke, just joking, let's lighten up. Now, that point, the objective of the joke is to really invalidate. It's a form of invalidation of truth. And it's done so in a very cowardly kind of a way. It's not done so openly by somebody making a point and saying, well, I don't agree. I think that point is not logical. That you have every right to do. You can argue. And that doesn't destroy the mood. But this is an emotional attack. It's a completely emotional attack, which has nothing to do with the validity or the non-validity. There's a certain of the what has been said, but there's just a certain element in man which wants to deny the objective reality and just withdraw into your own internal subjective world of feelings. That's basically what he's like. He feels this way, you feel that way, come on, it's above myself. That type of thing. That type of a joke. And that's Moshe Avleitzer. That people that direct all of their energy at this form of negationism. And that's what humor really is. That humor, good comedians, I'm not saying that the Torah is opposed, that you know how to go hear a comedian. I'm not talking about what the content is. Because it serves as a good outlet of talking about, you know, make fun out of politicians, and then a lot of it is exaggeration. It's exaggeration, taking something to an extreme. But assuming, that's not a Moshe Avleitzer, if the person is not engaged in that, if the person's engaged, I would say it's akin, it's similar to gambling. That is, a gambler is pusillanimous. Because there's a certain negation. That is to say, someone that doesn't involve and is not involved in any kind of constructive activity and constructive labor. So that person is not part of the system. Does not have any real trustworthiness. Is not involved. It's a certain negation of yeshiva olam, of reality. It's the same idea. There's a reality. Reality is that we have to take this life seriously and you have to be constructive. And he's trying to beat the system. But beating the system means to be free from the demands of reality. That's what a gambler is. Well, that's what every gambler is operating according to their own subjective fantasy, that they shouldn't have to be imposed upon, so to speak, by the demands of objective reality. In a sense, you can see the parallel over here with Moshe Avleitzer. That's what the comedian is. Very, very similar. On a psychological level, it's like a gambler. However, there is humor, which is acceptable. It provides an outlet and entertainment. People work hard and, well, we can take life seriously. When there's listening to a comedian poking fun out of things, it doesn't have the effect of negating reality because they know it's a... They know it's a joke. It's like a magician pulling something out of a hat. Everybody knows that it's not real. So, as far as that's concerned, there you see the appeal. You see the appeal of humor. And then, within the proper context, there's nothing wrong with it. But the Moshe Avleitzer, I'm referring to, that is a place where you gather. When you're not busy with other things, that's your recreation. That indicates what you're totally steeped in. Your mind is steeped in humor, in cynicism, and that's what cynicism is. It's really a rejection. It's a rejection of the notion that there's any validity. By the way, that also is difficult to fight against because it's considered to be very, very sophisticated. A cynic in this society is is considered to be a very sophisticated person, questions everything. Someone who's a believer, however, there's something that's like a square. You're a believer. You believe in something. That's not considered to be hip or sophisticated. Yeah, that person's considered to be a square, naive, conservative, whatever you want to say. Points being made that there is a difference between the gambler. The gambler does have some kind of a fantasy that they're pursuing. So if you want to the extent that they view that as being real, a reality, they're tapping into that, but they want the shortcut. They want to bypass the obstacles. Whereas the scorner, the scoffer, is saying it's all nothing. There's nothing of any real significance. And that's a very, very seductive. It's very seductive because it makes a strong appeal to the emotions. And if it is done in those situations, like the one I mentioned, when there's a moment where people are being affected by a certain reality, and somebody comes in at that point and makes that kind of a joke, and everybody laughs, it just destroys the moment. In a sense, the Leitz, or the Moshe of Leitzim, takes on the character of being like a Mesis. A Mesis is somebody who seduces another individual into sin. Here there's a certain seduction, and the seduction may not be into a particular sin, but it's away from truth. It's to cast an aspersion, to make a joke out of reality, out of truth, and produce a certain type of a feeling in people about the seriousness of a certain truth that they've been exposed to. As far as using leitzanus, as far as using a joke, can it ever be used in a positive way, to achieve an objective? What we have today in the reform conservative movements is attempt to distort Torah, essentially distorting of Torah. It doesn't stop. There's no end to it. The latest thing is, I've just read it in the Jewish Week over the weekend, that there is a significant movement within the conservative movement to justify, legitimate the homosexuality or lesbianism. I'm not going into all the particular forms, but apparently until now, they had restrictions whether a person could be a rabbi or whatever, if they were gay. The particulars are of no interest. But now, well, this is how they base their religiosity. It's the trend, because of the trends of the time, which is because of the pressures, and some of the leaders themselves have these conflicts because their own children, it turns out, may be gay or lesbian. So now they've thought through, and they think that they feel differently about it. They feel different. To me, that's the height of arrogance. That they feel. Who cares how you feel about something? If this is part of Torah, nobody can doubt it, that the Torah prohibits homosexuality, considers it to be a very, very serious avera. That's the Torah. You can't deny it. So then, if a person can't agree with that, a person has a different attitude towards it, so then the person walks away from Torah. That's one position. That's more of an honest position. But the arrogance of saying that because of how a person feels at this particular time, so this should be changed based on your feeling, is complete arrogance. So make up your own religion. I have no problem with conservatives or reform taking all of their positions and starting a completely new religion out of it, and give it a new name, and don't confuse it with Judaism, with Torah. That's not Torah. Now, with regard to those ideas, the ideas of conservative and reform, or even within Orthodoxy, it doesn't mean to say that everything within Orthodoxy is true either, combating false ideas. One has an obligation to combat false ideas, and one should do so in the most effective way. And in certain situations, I don't think that poking fun is the way to go about it, because especially in today's society where there's an attitude of political correctness, so if you poke fun at a position, generally speaking, it tends to do your own position more harm. So that's a practical advice. It's practical advice. But if the situation warrants it, I think one has a right to do so. That is, because those who are engaged in something which is evil, the distortion of Torah, the distortion of truth, and basically these are the worst sins, to draw people away, to seduce people away from following the Torah, and to introduce them to something which is false, and all the terrible effects this has in terms of the perpetuation of Judaism, the true Judaism, so one has an obligation to fight against them. And if you see in a certain situation that it's necessary to use humor or wit to strengthen your point or to make to have a greater impact, then if it's effective, definitely do so. That's different. The sin that we're talking about of leitzanus is where it's being utilized for the sake of negating a truth, negating reality. To the contrary, over here, it's you being utilized against the negators to affirm a truth. That would be akin to making fun out of idolatry. Now, there is a place for that, because sometimes a person is raised with a certain mental attitude, a certain reverence for their own religion that prevents them from being rational about it, and to their own detriment. And if you could communicate with them by a certain type of a joke or a certain type of a witty remark, that sometimes does open up their mind. It makes it easier for them. So it does have a place.
We would joke about it.
To use humor in an appropriate situation to help, to assist in the breaking down of a false idea is not what we're talking about by the scorner. The scorner is one whose essence is the negation that there's any reality, any intellectual reality that a person lives in. Here, to the contrary, here you're affirming a reality, and it's being used as a tool to help people deal with that reality. Then it can have an effect. Obviously, humor, wit, is something which is a significant part of the psyche. And the Torah didn't mean that it should not be utilized. It should be utilized. The Gemara mentions that one of the rabbis of the Talmud would open up his shiur with a milsa of the bidichusa, some type of a joke, a witticism, to get the students in the right mood, the right framework. Wit is a very significant phenomenon. It's helpful, a witty phrase. It causes people a certain enjoyment, a certain entertainment, or a certain idea you want to get across. Very often, I found, if you're giving a class or a Dvar Torah on Shabbos, if you can have some kind of a capsule, some kind of a phrase which has a emotional impact, it's very effective. Then people go home, and then, of course, that phrase per se, the use of that phrase, or if you made a good joke to get people's attention, it's considered to be very effective. What's wrong with that? In order to get people in the right frame of mind, if you have, you don't always have the opportunity. But sometimes you have a good line or a good joke, and that gets the attention, that could make the Dvar Torah much more effective. So a person has to relate to this phenomenon of joking in the same way as anything else, with seichel, with chachma. If it's utilized with chachma and the correct objective, person has the correct goals, the correct values, so then it can be used intelligently. But Moshav Leitzim is a different type of phenomenon. That's a person who's steeped in this mechanism of utilizing cynicism. It's a cynic, and the humor is an attempt to destroy, right, to deflate the value of any truth.